Jacques Demierre and Vincent Barras. I'm terrible at pronouncing foreign, non-English. Vincent Barras. Umlop. And that was an excerpt from an even larger piece called Voicing Through Censure, another thing that I have to try to pronounce. Vincent and Jacques are just finishing a U.S. tour, and thank you guys so much for coming up and performing for us.
Thank you.
Do you want to say anything about the work and how this is constructed or what's behind it?
What we just performed is the second part of a triptych called Voicing Through Saussure.
Nopo.
And
Nopo.
The whole piece is like a 3x30 minutes, so it's a 1.5 hour of performing about let's say about text material taken from the works of the French-speaking Swiss linguist of the 19th century, Ferdinand de Saussure.
So there is a basis in more syntactical language. And Jacques, I'm familiar with your work as a pianist, and that's how I first found out about your duo. And Vincent, I have to admit that I didn't know you before hearing the duo. But besides your work in sound poetry, you also teach the history of medicine.
Yes, and our work is actually quite based on body processes like respiration. In French, we call this inspiration and expiration. So aspiration in French has also to do with poetic inspiration.
Can you tell me how you construct a piece? How is this structured? It's all you're working from scores, so it's all very very tightly constructed.
It is indeed.
Well, yes, it's very precisely constructed.
Like we can take musical structures.
For example, we work on very precise points of articulation.
And elsewhere, and we can also just take into account the fact that we have two bodies, four lungs.
We have two different texts.
Two tongues, two mouths.
We have the written text.
And
which is really
this duo gives the basis of musical structure, the way that we correspond
our two human bodies with the four lungs,
two tongues, and four lungs,
and two lips. Well, four or two lips, it depends. And
so this gives us the basis of our the structure, which is both musical and poetic, poetic in the sense that it is about words and language, more language than words, and musical in the sense that we use quite usual structures in composition, structure ABA, things like that. So composing bits of sounds or arrangements of sounds, to give the sense of a time structure, which is quite compositional.
Do you think people that speak different languages hear this differently?
I think so.
How many languages do each of you speak?
It depends.
Well, it depends. Normally together we speak French, but there's some Spanish, Italian, German, Greek.
But mostly Latin. The languages we use are actually dead languages, dead languages that that are not spoken anymore. And mostly from the Indo-European tradition. So this is this might give the listener the impression that she's quite familiar with these sounds, even though they are not used anymore in that sense.
The pliel, the pliel, but the mziez, the krioil, the frurf. Par exemple, ce petit passage que vous venez d'entendre a souvent été un passage à partir duquel les spectateurs nous ont soit fait des remarques par rapport à la provenance de leur... Oh, sorry, I'm speaking French. This passage... So maybe... Oh, let's continue. Fjölk, Frost, the Pliel, the Bliel, the Mzies, the Krioir, the Frufk. Fjölk, the Frost, the Pliel, the Bliel, the Mzies, the Krioir, the Frufk.
So I did recognize when you were speaking French, of course, but you were saying earlier, Vincent, that the listener might feel as if they're recognizing linguistic sounds. I don't feel like that real often. I feel fairly lost in the vocalese and looking for meaning.
Well, you actually this is something we try to suggest to the listener that there is some meaning, though our words, which are actually not words but part of words, phonemes, a very small particle of sound which we produce with our lungs and larynx and glottis and all the organs used to speak, these small sounds, as they are produced through the usual way of communicating, so they tend to suggest that there must be some meaning inside, but actually there is no meaning, or rather the meaning is just the fact that these sounds are used by everybody, and especially the people who come from our linguistic tradition and Indo-European, which is the mm-hmm. basis of most of the Occidental language spoken in Europe and also part of the United States. This is O,
O,
K,
U,
L, U, S,
O,
S,
A,
K,
I,
S,
O,
K,
O,
Augen,
A,
K, N. So you listen to Augen, which might convey you a sense of something that maybe your grandmother or father used when he was speaking Sanskrit. Or Greek, in that case, old German, Augen, which
yes,
means
which
A.
Is, yeah, today, Augen means eye in German today. So, for example, oculus, comes from Latin, but also we... We say oculus, but we...
A-I-O-O-N-A-E.
So we perform it, we perform an oct, oc,
st,
n, sm, at, au. And the words are octo, Ashtuni, Osmi, Artav. So they are all words, all very ancient words, like Sanskrit words, or High Gothic, or High Slavonic, or Old Greek. Or so they are really. It's not a phonetic based work. It's more. It's a real language based work. And then we do some process. This material based on languages.
So, do you think we actually carry memories of past languages in our DNA somehow?
Yes, I think. For example, we perform these pieces called voicing through Saussure many times in different countries in Europe, now in the States, in South America too, and every time people. Even if we don't say nothing about our work, talk a lot about something primitive or something like sounds becoming languages, like a state of pre-language, I think it comes also from how we treat the material, but also from the characteristics of the work by Saussure, who was looking for like an original A that would have been the origin of everything. Okay. Today that theory doesn't exist anymore, but there was that search for an original sound that was like the mother of that could have been the mother of all the sounds.
Right. I actually had this image when I was listening to you performing of sort of unripened words, as if they were fruit that hadn't fallen from the tree yet.
These
sort of almost potential words.
No. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no.
Is there an emotional quality to the work, and does that vary from piece to piece?
Yes.
No.
The emotional level is always present. It varies not only from piece to piece, but I think from sound to sound. There is no intention of putting any intentional emotion in such and such a piece, but we know, and everybody experiences this in his languages, just when he breathes or inspires or exhales or just says a sound, there's a quality of emotion. So we try to suggest as many qualities of emotion as there are phonemes in such and such a given poem. But we, of course, do not intend to express sorrow or joy or stupid things like that.
What about informational quality? Is there are you relating information?
Poum, for instance, which means in French poumon, lung, which is an information that you might listen when we perform this poum. Oppo. Poem.
Gal. For example, here too we express information.
And you also have a number of three or four anyway recordings. How can people find out about those or find out more about what you're doing? Do you have a website you can give, or?
You can find them on ubu.com, part of our work.
On Ubu, UBU, the
ubu.com.
Website affiliated with WFMU, in fact.
Yes, and there's also a lot of examples of texts and a few explanations about the work on my website. So if you just type Jacques Demierre, JACQUESDEMIERRE .com. In one word.
I'll put that up on the playlist as well.
You.com. So you can find some information about our works.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much for coming up. This was really great.
Hey, thank you. Thanks a lot.